You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. With college graduation still visible in the rearview mirror and a fresh crop of grads making their first steps into the working world, it's worth asking, what advice do young people need to be successful?
CNN anchor Anderson Cooper recently added his voice to the chorus with his new essay, Why No Plan B is the Only Plan. It got published in a new book called Getting There. In the essay, Cooper says he followed his mother's advice to follow his bliss and go for the one and only job he wanted. Worked out all right for him, but our guest today says for most people, having no plan B, terrible idea.
We're debating that question now. In a dicey economy, is it sound advice to tell young people to follow their passion and move forward without a plan B? Emily Hauser joins us now. She's a longtime commentary writer whose work has appeared in the Daily Beast, Chicago Tribune, and Dallas Morning News. Emily, welcome to Central Time.
Hi, Veronica. Thanks for having me.
Well, let's start with Anderson Cooper's essay about having no plan B. What exactly does he say?
Well, he talks about how his life started with in his youth there was a lot of loss and tragedy, and that he, in the search for his own, meeting his own needs and finding out who he needed to be, he struggled and worked really hard and, you know, snuck across borders and lived in on $5 a day and things like that, and worked super, super hard and made it to where he is today. All of which is true. I have absolutely no doubt and do not wish to question either Anderson Cooper's work ethic or the way that loss shaped his life. I myself am very familiar with what happens to a young person when they meet incredible loss and grief at a young age. So I have, you know, I have no question about kind of the top of his story, if you will. And I have an enormous amount of respect for the work he's done and the way that he has always dedicated himself to his work. I think he's really, really good at what he does. I mean, I say in my response to it that I have a crush on him, and I do. I mean, it's for real. He's smart, and he's good at what he does, and he's always worked very, very hard. The problem is he then goes on to talk about that as if his life was not still somehow fundamentally different from the lives of most people who are trying to follow their passion and find themselves and throwing themselves with all their hard work at what means the most to them and at what they want to do. And there are so many reasons that people often don't achieve their one goal that to suggest to people, especially people just starting out, high schoolers or college students who are just graduating, that follow your bliss, have no plan B is an actual workable plan is inaccurate. And as I said in my own piece, it's unkind, because ultimately you then wind up with your failure on your, what is perceived of as your failure on your shoulders. And it might have very little to do with you or your hard work.
And Cooper's advice, it's not really something that's unique to him. His story is his own, but that message has been around for a long time. It's an inspirational one, and frankly, it's probably one that a lot of young people want to hear, that if they have their eyes on the brass ring and they really go for it with 110%, single-mindedly, that it can be theirs, and that's what separates those who make it with those who don't. But in today's economy and some of the obstacles to success, do you think it's still practical advice?
Well, you know, I'm going to tell you the truth. I don't think it was ever practical advice. I think that we hear from the people who made it. We don't hear from the people who didn't, right? And oddly enough, Anderson Cooper and I are roughly the same age. We're a couple years away from each other. And though I grew up very much lower middle class, I grew up and went to school in an extremely wealthy zip code. So I had all of the advantages in terms of schooling and the expectations that the society around you has of you for success and you know, a college education and making the best of yourself, and you can do it, that wealthy zip code provided the kids whose parents, you know, were multimillionaires, right? I got a lot of those advantages without having the money. And also, oddly enough, at a very young age, I made a very weird decision, and I went across an ocean and started living in the Middle East out of nowhere for no good reason, really. And I, too, you know, I walked into areas where suicide bombers had just exploded themselves. I walked across I walked from one side of battleground to another on the West Bank, and I had a lot of the same kind of, my experiences really do in a funny way mirror what Anderson Cooper's experiences were and did. And my thing never worked out. You know, I tried pretty hard. I worked, I think, I grew up being told, if you work as hard as you can, and I think that was very, very true for our generation, if you work as hard as you want, and you, like you said, go with 110% for that brass ring, you'll get it. Or at the very least, you'll be able to pay your bills. You might not be Anderson Cooper on CNN, but you'll be able to pay your bills, right? And, you know, I know a lot of people my age, and there are a lot of people out there in a reality that is very different than the one that we were told was ours for the grasping. And I think with the current economy, it's even less practical, because you're telling kids to go out and, you know, Cooper talked about, I believe in creating your own art, your own opportunity, if no one gives you one. People create their own opportunities or try to all the time, but they also have to pay off their student debts, and maybe they can't afford a ticket to Thailand like he did. And the thing that I always come back to, there are two things that I always come back to in his very specific story. He always did have a plan B, because no matter who he was or where he, or what he was doing or where he was, he knew someone could fly him home.
Right. He has a famous mother, if I'm not mistaken. He
right.
went to Yale. So right. is he a special case?
I don't think everybody works as hard as he's worked. So he's maybe a special case in two ways. You know, he says at the end of his piece that people are hoping for a magical moment to happen, and my life is proof that it doesn't happen in one moment. You have to work for it. But there is a really unusual advantage to knowing that if you fly into Thailand and get into trouble, someone will be able to buy you a ticket home. And your mom doesn't have to be Gloria Vanderbilt, right? You just have to have more money than most people to know that someone will be able to fly you home. And there's the fact that as a man, he could walk across borders with much greater ease than I ever could. I was always having to be on the lookout because I was a woman. And there are plenty of women out there who are doing great war correspondent work, and I'm not suggesting that I attempted to achieve that and failed. I love what they do, but I'll bet you they have a lot of stories that Anderson Cooper doesn't know about, because he didn't have to face the same things they had to face.
Is there something depressing about that, though, that people with economic advantage and privilege can go for their dreams, but everyone else has to settle for plan B and C and D?
Well, it's demoralizing. I'll certainly say it's demoralizing. I think that we should, you know, I would never tell someone, don't go for what you want. I would never say abandon your passion. I would say try your hardest, because at the end of all things, you'll know that you tried, and that's going to have an enormous amount of value. And it might work. Maybe it'll work. That would be great. But don't beat yourself up if it doesn't, and have something in mind so that you can also pay your bills, because paying your bills and peace of mind is also incredibly valuable.
So as a parent, this is something that I've talked about with other parents, and just a couple weeks ago with a friend, one who said, it doesn't matter about money if you're doing something you love. You don't want to spend your life doing something you don't love, and so that's what I'm going to tell my kid. And I was thinking, well, I think a plan B is always a good idea,
yeah.
even though following your dreams is a beautiful thing and no one wants to snatch somebody's dreams away from them. But it seems as though there's a balance that people have to figure out, whether they
right.
want to go for practical safety net a little bit or just go for it.
Well, and people often don't realize in, middle and upper middle class socioeconomic groups, we often don't realize what we're talking about when we say just go for your dreams, because we often don't think about the fact that we're presuming that someone will have a car, or we're presuming that someone will be married to someone who makes more money. My husband is why I was able to try to achieve my passion for so many years, because he is in high tech. So I lived off of his, he was very happy to do it, but I was able to continue to push at something that wasn't paying the way I needed it to, because I had another income. People have all kinds of reasons why just going for it is all but impossible. Maybe they have poor health. Maybe their parents have poor health. Maybe they don't own a car. Maybe they don't have, you know, there are all kinds of reasons that we need to bear in mind. So, you know, go for your dream as best you can, but don't beat yourself up if it doesn't work. And try to have something in mind as an option for if your car breaks down or you fall, you can't pay your rent.
We're talking right now with Emily Hauser, longtime commentary writer. She has had her work appear in the Daily Beast, Chicago Tribune, and the Dallas Morning News.
The question in today's economy, is it sound advice to give college grads, high school grads, young people, this common thing, follow your dreams, follow your passion, go all in, reach for the dream job. Don't worry about Plan B. That's what CNN's Anderson Cooper said in a recent essay. We want to know what you think. What do you tell? What would you tell your kids about this idea? Do you tell them follow your dream, or do you say, "Hey, hedge your bets, have that Plan B"? What advice did you get growing up? How did it work out for you? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We're talking with Emily Hauser, a commentator for the week. She recently took issue with CNN anchor Anderson Cooper's essay called Why No Plan B is the Only Plan, telling young people to have a single goal and make it work no matter what. It's a kind of follow your bliss advice that's been around for a while, but is it practical enough in today's economy?
We want to hear from you. Is it good advice to say, hey, follow your dream, follow your passion, and good things will come from it? Or is it better advice to say, hedge your bets, have a plan B, don't take that long shot, a career effort? Call in at 800-642-1234. What were you told growing up? What do you tell your own kids? Is passion and perseverance enough? Or do you need that safety net? Call 800-642-1234, or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page.
And we go to our first caller. We've got Ray joining us in Milwaukee. Hi, Ray.
Hi. I want to let the listening audience know, even if you do make it in your plan A, it's always good to have a plan B. I was a musician, and from the age of 18 to 38, I struggled in local bands here. And at the age of 38, because I was in the right place at the right time, I had studied classical music, could read music, play classical guitar and electric guitar. I happened to join the Violent Femmes and toured the world with them, recorded with them, played with them on stage, but I did it long enough to realize that that actually wasn't my dream at all, and now I work as a stagehand here in Milwaukee, and I'm much happier. I sleep in my own bed at night. I did succeed at Plan A, but always, always have a Plan B and C.
So you got your dream, and then you realized it wasn't really what you thought. So maybe we get to that place we want to be, and it's not where we want to be at all. So it's better to have those backup plans, sounds like, Ray.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, well, thanks a lot for calling in. What do you think about that, Emily? And maybe not pigeonholing yourself. If you don't have 100% surety that this is what you want, it's better to have options anyway.
Well, I think that's absolutely true in the sense of if only in the sense of your life is going to be more interesting, right? I think that people who stay monofocused, maybe they achieve what they intended to achieve, but their life won't be as rich. And I'm also a big fan of striving to have a rich life that goes beyond our normal parameters of, you know, financial wealth and, you know, our normal markers for a life well led. You know, try to have an interesting life as well, and try to engage yourself in as many things that can give you joy or bring you stimulate your mind. But as I said before several times, also bear in mind that paying your bills is a really life-affirming thing.
All right, let's go to our next caller. Thank you for that call, Ray. We're going to go to Daniel in Madison. Hi, Daniel.
Hi, I'd just like to say that if your plan A is based off the current system of getting a job and working for somebody, I think that it's a failed plan to begin with. I think that it's another you can't win at another man's game where everybody's cheating. Myself, I had grown up in South Carolina. I grew up in a trailer. I had a single mother that barely was employed. I came from there, and now I have a career. I have a family. But the trick is I didn't play another man's game. I didn't go out and, you know, if your monofocus is to go and get a job and become an employee for a company, you may make some money, but the fact is that company's never going to take care of you. the fact is the only one that will ever support you is yourself.
Daniel, do you mind if I ask what you do?
Currently, what I do right now is I'm in the IT field.
All right, IT field, and you started your own company.
I actually came to Madison to launch internet for, at the time, was Bresnan Communications.
Got it.
But the point is, but my point is, and my focus I want to point out, is I had a science teacher, and he changed my life. And he used to do these little tricks, and he used to bet the class. And his answer always was the class would always lose because they were rigged games. And his answer always was never play another man's game because you will always lose.
All right. Thank you, Daniel. And Daniel talking about getting out there and doing it for yourself because you set the rules, you set the parameters. And that involves an element of risk. Being an entrepreneur is a risky business. Maybe that's for a plan A. But what do you think about what Daniel had to say, Emily?
Well, you know, it's interesting because as a freelance writer, that was all I ever did. I didn't follow anybody else's game plan. And now I, after a long time of not making any kind of living that was commensurate with the amount of work or expertise that I was putting into it, I'm a commentator at The Week a couple times a month, but that's not what's going to put my kids through school. What's going to put my kids through college is the fact that I pulled way back from my writing and went back to school, and now I'm learning to be a librarian, and I'm going to be a librarian in my middle years. So my life experience was precisely the opposite of his. So different people, you know, the point, I think, to my mind is there is no one way. There cannot be one way, given all of the many variables that each person brings to what they're trying to do, and many of those variables are things that they have no idea are out there. People's opinions about them, you know, a bad day or a good day on the stock market or whatever. So to my mind, the most important thing is to keep your own personal sense of options open, if only for the sake of being kind to yourself. And when you're telling young people when young people are starting out in life, that is the one piece of advice that I think is probably most lacking. Be kind to yourself. Don't beat yourself up over things that you can't control. Work your hardest, but be kind to yourself.
And we'll go to one more phone call here. Megan joins us next in Madison. Megan, hi.
Hello.
What do you think?
Growing up, my parents said, you can do whatever you want. You don't have to go to a four-year school if that's not what you want to do. I didn't know what I wanted to do. And so I just kind of went from thing to thing, wherever life seemed to kind of take me. And I didn't have any confidence to go after what I wanted, which was to write. And it wasn't until now I'm in my 30s that people are telling me, like, yeah, you're good enough. You have talent. You can do this. And I asked my mom, why didn't you push me to go more in this direction? And she didn't really have an answer. And I think maybe Anderson Cooper doesn't realize that not everyone really has this big dream or knows what to do with themselves. We don't have the confidence to go out and really go after something. So for my mom and my dad to just say, you know, do whatever you want, we'll support you, but I really needed some guidance. And beyond just saying do what you want and then we'll be okay with it.
Found it, Megan. Thank you for that, sharing that story. And Emily, do you think parents need to be more involved in helping their kids make that decision as we get ready to wrap up here?
I think that it's important that we be as honest as we can with them, and part of that is also admitting our own humanity. There's only so much we'll ever be able to tell our kids or guide our kids in a way that will lead them to, you know, a life of success and happiness, right? But I will say that kind of support is a really important piece of anybody's ability to move ahead, and not everybody has it. I think that point is correct, that there's absolutely a need for support if you're going to even try to make a big dream come true, and for a whole lot of reasons, not everybody has it.
Well, Emily, thanks a lot for joining us and talking about it today.
My pleasure. Thank you so much for having me on.
That was Emily Hauser, longtime commentary writer. She writes for the Daily Beast, Chicago Tribune, and the Dallas Morning News. You can keep this conversation going with your thoughts, your feeling about having a plan B or not, over on the Central Time Facebook page.